But I want to share something I believe I have from the Lord for you today. If you want to stand with me one more time as we read the Word of God together, I want to go to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 15. And I'm going to read probably one of the most well-known stories or parables. A lot of times when Jesus was cornered, the Pharisees or religious people tried to corner Jesus, he would answer with a parable. He would speak in these parables. What's amazing about it is that it really speaks through the pages of Scripture directly to us as well. And I want to share with you a very well-known parable, but something I want to bring to us today and bring some maybe new light on it. It's Luke chapter 15 and verse 1. I'm going to start reading in the King James Version, and then later today I'm going to reference the English Standard Version and translation of Scripture. It says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." This is tax collectors and people that were not necessarily the highlight of society. "And the Pharisees and scribes," these are the religious elite, "murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Kind of looking at Jesus. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." My message for you today is titled this, "Carried Home Joyfully." Carried home joyfully. You can be seated this afternoon. Now, I'm going to be honest. I don't know about you, but I don't know if on the surface I like the idea of being called a sheep, right? Open this message to say, I want everyone to know something. You're a sheep, right? And obviously, if you have a background of kind of the scriptural metaphor of that, and you connect it to some scriptural truths, and it may be an encouragement to you. But if someone just came up to you, maybe say on the job, let's take this out of the context of Scripture, and someone said, "You're a sheep," I don't know that you would receive it in such a spiritual way. Because when we say that or someone says that, usually what they're trying to say is, you can't think for yourself, or you just follow blindly, right? They'll say things like, "You're a sheep." And so I recognize that today, in speaking about this parable, I want to place us in this narrative because it's a beautiful metaphor. But the powerful meaning of it, it has a danger of being lost on us. And I don't really have adequate time to delve into it today, but I do want to pull a few things from this metaphor of the sheep and the shepherd. And as I said, just culturally, if someone were to accuse you of being a sheep, you may not receive that with the same spiritual meaning that I mean today. But even what I mean, even the parable as it's intended, I think is a really big challenge to us as believers or non-believers, because the truth is the reality of a sheep is the necessity of a shepherd. The reality of a sheep is really a humble posture to say, I need a shepherd. I need to be led. I want God to lead me in my life. And so today I want to speak to some groups of people, whether you are a guest with us today or whether this is maybe second or third time joining us at First Church or any church in general, or you've been coming here for years. I believe the Lord wants to speak to us through this very familiar passage of Scripture. And so first of all, if we look at the question of, okay, sheep and a shepherd, well, who is the shepherd? And the answer is God. Jesus is, the Bible says, is the chief shepherd. But for the sake of conversation, you may have grown up saying, well, isn't the pastor the shepherd of the church? We use that term. And so I just want to take a moment and bring some understanding. And so the answer I would say there is yes, I do serve as the shepherd of our church, leading our church. But to be more specific, to really clarify that, I would say that I am the under-shepherd. I'm the under-shepherd of our church, because the truth is that Jesus is the chief shepherd. He is the shepherd because we belong to him. You in here today, First Church members, are not my flock, to use this metaphor. We're the Lord's. He is the shepherd. And Peter, writing to believers in Asia Minor, where he had previously ministered, wrote this in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. And again, I just want to bring some clarity to some of these terms that we have heard and maybe used some in church. And 1 Peter 5, verse 1, it says, "So I exhort the elders among you." And this word elders is kind of interchangeable between leaders and elders that is used all throughout the New Testament. "As a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you." So whose flock is it? It's not my flock. It's God's. We are the sheep of his pasture. We belong to the Lord. So we need to make sure we get that straight. Shepherd the flock of God. There is a call to shepherd God's flock, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly. The King James Version of verse 2 says, "Feed the flock of God." Verse 3, "Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." So a couple things that are important to this, that I, as the leader of our church, I am called to shepherd God's flock. But what does that mean? As God would direct, not domineering, right? But being an example to the flock, because there is a chief shepherd. And what's interesting about this is I would say, yes, it is the pastor's job to lead the flock. It is a pastor's job to lead this. But if I can make another comparison, sheep are flocks, not herds like cattle. And if we're not careful, we will treat, if you're a leader, let me just kind of speak to you as well, that we will treat the metaphor and message of a shepherd more like a driver of cattle, because you drive cattle, but you lead sheep, right? A shepherd, how does a shepherd lead sheep? A shepherd, and there's multiple ways, but in general, a shepherd leads sheep from the front with trust, and the sheep will follow after the shepherd, right? So as a leader, we need to understand that we are not supposed to herd people like cattle. We are not supposed to push people, or this idea of, well, people are going to be under my thumb, or I'm going to lead in that way. That's not what Scripture has called us to do, and that's not what Scripture has called me to do as a pastor. Yes, there is a deep leadership responsibility that's been placed on me, but I want to be very clear of two things. Number one, that we are all sheep in the Lord's flock. We are sheep of his pasture, but also I have been charged to shepherd the flock of God. So there is a challenge here, because we don't like what comes with being a sheep. Because what comes with being a sheep is being submissive to God and his authority. And we don't like that, because we're human, because our human nature. And even with that, to me, why I'm being so clear about this is because, again, if you're new or if you're a guest with us, the point is I don't want you to leave this place after this service today and say, "Man, you know what? Daniel Bernard is such a great preacher and such a great pastor. I hope that I bring a good word. I hope that I'm able to communicate clearly." And even for our church, I don't want you to say, "You know what? I just think that Daniel Bernard, he's just the greatest speaker, and that's the focus." Although I'll take all the kind words, not saying that. But what I'm saying is, if I am the focal point of what we do here, if my speaking or leadership becomes the focal point, then I have made a mistake. Because I don't want you leaving this place saying, "Oh, Daniel Bernard is such a good minister." I want you leaving this place saying, "God is such a good God." Because my job is to point you to the chief shepherd. I cannot make this about me. I cannot make this about my influence. All I can do is say, "Please follow me as we follow the Lord together, as I follow Scripture together." So in the same breath that I say it's not about me, I also have to stand before you and say, "I will give an account to the Lord for how I have led this church." So in one sense, I want to be humble and say, "We are following the Lord. It is not my authority, it is his authority." But I also have to be bold and say, if there's something in Scripture, I want to bring it before you. I can't be shy about the Word of God. I've got to preach the Word of God. If it says it in this book, I've got to share it with our church, because I don't want any of us to go astray. I want us to follow the Lord as the chief shepherd in our life. Having a shepherd is a wonderful thing, but it's not so wonderful, I think, to embrace the idea of being a sheep. And again, because it's difficult to get in the position to say, "I need to be led by the Lord. God, I want you to lead me. I want you to direct me." But having a shepherd, as I said, is a wonderful thing. You want direction in your life? Follow the shepherd. How do you follow the shepherd? John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." You know, you can study this, you can look it up. There's several examples of videos of this, but a shepherd, leading a flock of sheep, over time they will develop different sorts of calls and noises and a sequence of things that when they make this sequence of noises or verbal directions, the sheep will hear, they'll be attentive to it, and they'll respond to it. Now, but you can look this up. There's examples of a shepherd laying out the series of noises and words, and he can even give that to somebody else. And they can go before the flock, and they can begin to make the exact same sequence of words and say all of those things, but the sheep will ignore them. Even though they're saying the right things, the sheep will ignore it. Why? Because it's not just about hearing what they want to hear. It's about knowing the voice of the one that's speaking. So let me just tell somebody today, there will be times, if you want to know, God, I want you to direct me, I want to follow your will, I want to be a person that lives in your will, and I want to follow after what you would do, then you have to make a determination, not just, well, when I hear someone say the right thing, I want to follow after that, but you also have to say in your spirit, God, not only do I just want to hear the right things, but I want to know your voice. I want to know that it is you speaking and you directing me. I don't want to just follow anybody. I don't want to just follow what sounds good, because there will be times when you will hear things that sound good to you, but you have to make the determination. It can't just sound a certain way. I have to know the voice. So how do we know the voice? We know the voice of the shepherd through the word of God. We know the voice of the shepherd through the spirit of God. And my prayer is that we would know the voice of God, the word of God through the man of God, that these things would flow in unison with one another, that you can say, yes, I believe the preached word of God because I can read it in my Bible. And it's not just some opinion of man. It's not just some specific thing that he's some preference I'm preaching, but I want to say, you know what? I want to lead you from this book. I want to lead you from the word of God. And when you go home and you pray about it, you'll feel a confirmation. Yes, that is from the Lord. So if you want to follow God, you need to know the voice of the shepherd. I want to be a sheep that is secure. There's two types of sheep in general, I would say. There are secure sheep and there are straying sheep. There's Bible for this. And I want to be a sheep that is secure. You know, many times when we talk about things like sin or mistakes in church, it's almost from the perspective of making sure we don't mess up and don't receive judgment. But the truth is, can I tell you that there is such a security in being in the flock of Jesus and letting him be your shepherd. There's such a security in that. Why? Because all of us, every single one of us, are susceptible to going our own way. There is nobody that is exempt from becoming a straying sheep. Isaiah 53 and 6, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. All of us, we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is the benefit. Let me tell somebody today, every single one of us have made mistakes and will make mistakes, and we are not deserving of eternal life. But what's amazing, like sheep, we have all gone astray, but the Lord has laid all of our iniquity on him. So let me just tell somebody today, I do not care what's happened in your life. I don't care where you are from. I don't care if this is your first time here or your 40th time here, your 400th time here. God loves you the same way that he loves me. As much as he loves me, he loves you with that exact same love. And no matter what you have done, Jesus died for you. I don't care if you don't know anything about God or you've been following him for years. We serve a God that loves every single one of us. We have all gone astray. Whether you're standing on this platform, whether you're playing an instrument, or whether you just barely came in today, God loves you. He died for you, and he is the gift of eternal life available to you, each and every one. We are all the sheep of his pasture. Psalms 23, maybe the most quotable portion of scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. Everything else he says hinges on this reality. The Lord is my shepherd. You have to allow God to be your shepherd. Everything else, think about it. It flows from this foundational understanding. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Think about it. If you feel like, you know what? My life, I'm not walking by still waters. The circumstances of my life are like tumultuous waters. They are like a river rushing by, and I can't seem to figure it out. All these things are happening. Could it be that maybe you're missing a key ingredient? Maybe you're trying to find still waters without a shepherd. Can I tell somebody today, maybe there's some things in your life that are raging all around you, but the answer may not be to try to figure it out yourself. Maybe the answer is as simple as saying, God, I want you to be my shepherd. God, I've tried to figure things out on my own. I've been a little prideful. I've tried to do it my way, but maybe today I just need to humble myself and say, God, I want still waters, but I can't have still waters without a shepherd. God, I want to be righteous. I want to walk on the right path, but how can I be led if I don't have a shepherd? God, I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, it feels like, but I'm afraid. If you don't want to fear evil, the answer is that you need a shepherd. Can I tell somebody today that you need to allow God to lead you? I know it's humility that it takes. I know it's difficult, but we need to say, God, I need you to be my shepherd. I need you to be my shepherd. And God is very serious. Even when times when people that were meant to lead people did not shepherd the flock in the right way, there's a strong rebuke. I want to read just one example just to give you this idea that God really cares about you to the point that he will rebuke the leaders that lead the flock astray. Ezekiel 34 and 10, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. There are times, we see in the Old Testament, the people that were meant to lead the people were leading them astray. So God stepped in and said, no, you don't understand. This is my flock, and I will make sure that they are protected. God has your best interests at heart. John 10 and 11, look at this. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I'm so thankful that we serve a shepherd that will go to any lengths. He said, I will lay down my life for sheep, even though they may not be able to do anything in return. There's nothing that we can do to be good enough for God, and yet he died for us. Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Psalm 79:13, but we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever. From generation to generation, we will recount your praise. Oh, the benefits of being a secure sheep. I know it may not be popular even to say, but I think that all of us need to embrace spiritually the idea that if I am going to succeed in life, I have to be humble enough to be a sheep under the shepherd, which is Christ Jesus. And it is a challenge because we all have pride and we all think we know best. But sometimes the answer is as simple as saying, God, you are the shepherd. I am the sheep. You lead and I will follow. Having that basic commitment is sometimes the very thing you need to do to unlock what God has for you next. Also, when thinking about the shepherd, let me just speak to our church. Let me just speak to people that have been around church. You're a first church member. You've been here for a long time. Let me just speak to you for a moment. Does the shepherd get offended at sheep for being sheep? We would say no. He cares about the well-being of the sheep. The shepherd cares for the flock. He doesn't punish the flock. He doesn't hurt the flock. He does everything he can to care for, to maintain the health of, and to lead the flock. The sheep and shepherd metaphor is not an insult to your intelligence. It's a reminder of how much God loves and cares for us, and how I, as the under shepherd, should lead our church. And even you, leaders among us, leading other people, should lead others to Jesus. And you know what's interesting about this is, let's say you have a sheep that has gone astray. You may, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but there's videos and stories of them finding a sheep that's been lost for years even. And the sheep comes back with all of this extra wool and all of this baggage that it carries. You ever seen this? And it seems like it can barely walk. And when they finally get to the sheep, they bring it back and they shear the sheep and they have to, you know, restore it and all these things. But what's amazing is after the shepherd brings the sheep back, after they shear it and kind of clean it up, when the sheep goes back into the flock, very soon, it becomes indistinguishable from all the other sheep, right? It's a flock. The sheep, in many ways, are the same. And so, first of all, let me just tell you, when I say I am a sheep, as we are sheep, It's really the fact that we are all equal. Let me just tell you something. We are so obsessed in our carnal mind about who's got more money, about who's got what position, about where am I in the pecking order, what's the flow chart, who is the leader, who's not a leader, who's this and who's that. And yes, all those things are good. All those things are of God. But in a similar way, it'd be like if I brought someone up here that could jump really high, that a really high vertical, and I said, all right, we're going to jump and see who can jump higher. And if they jumped, you may, from your perspective, say, wow, that person can jump so much higher than you. But if we zoomed out and I said, okay, let's see which one of us can jump closer to the moon. From that perspective, you would say, it doesn't matter. It's indistinguishable. Just a few feet, thousands of miles. And I think that's more of what it's like when we try to compare ourselves among ourselves. Let me just tell somebody, in the eyes of God, as sheep, it doesn't matter what accomplishments you have on this earth. It doesn't change your value. It doesn't increase your value to Him. It doesn't decrease your value to Him. You have value because He created you for a purpose. So let me just tell somebody, no matter what experiences you've had in life, you are not a second-rate child of God. You are not someone that God looks down on as a mistake. You are a person that He loves, that He died for, that He cares about deeply. And when you bring a sheep back into the flock, you can't tell them from the other sheep. So let me just tell our flock here at our church, when people come back into this church, let's not judge them. You don't see sheep creating a space around them and saying, oh, look at this one sheep. No, they accept them and they bring them back into it. So I don't want this to be the kind of church where we judge other people. If there are people that come in here broken, if there are people that come in here hurting, let's receive them in the name of Jesus. Let's love them. Let's allow them to grow. Let's allow them to come back to God. Who are we to judge? I am no better than any other person. Just because I'm standing here behind this pulpit does not make me anything else than a sheep. I am a sheep in the pasture of the Lord, just as you are. If it is your first Sunday here, let me tell you that you and I are the same in the eyes of God and how much He loves us. He loves me and He loves you. So we've got to let people come in as they are. We can't judge them. Let God lead them. Let me tell you, sheep cannot get so obsessed with looking at other sheep. Do you know what happens when a sheep gets obsessed and looks at another sheep or gets distracted? You know what happens? They take their eyes off the shepherd and then they wander away. So guess what? If we're not careful, if we are so consumed with comparing ourselves to other people, if we're so consumed with judging other people and seeing who's doing something right and who's doing something wrong, guess what? The only thing you are effectively doing is taking your eyes off of the shepherd. This is not for everybody. This is for First Church members that you call First Church home. Let me just tell you, you need to get your eyes back on the shepherd and stop worrying about other people. Why? Because I don't have time to worry about you and what you've done wrong and the mistakes you've made. Why? Because I've got to keep my eyes on the shepherd. Because if I'm not careful, I will be led astray. Why? Because we all, like sheep, will follow our own ways. So I'm calling our church to get your eyes on the shepherd. Don't be worried about other people. Don't look down your nose at other people. You will never be so righteous that you've got it all figured out. We all need a shepherd. If you're 75 years old and been here since day one, you need a shepherd. Who are we to judge? Who are we to look down on other people? And if you're here today and you're new to God, you're new to this walk in your faith, I hope that this is an encouragement to you. I mean, let me speak to this. In this passage, we see what we would call a wayward sheep. Let me speak to someone who feels far from God. Maybe you feel like church people, if I can say that, judge you, look down on you. Let me speak to someone that maybe you feel like the church has let you down. Maybe you've let down God, you feel like. Or maybe someone, God forbid, in church is the cause of your pain. Maybe someone in church that was supposed to help you is the reason why you feel like you are now led astray. Now, again, I don't think any sheep, using this metaphor, would willingly just walk away from provision and safety in the flock. No, sometimes they get distracted. But because they need a shepherd, by the time they look up from their distraction, the shepherd is gone, the flock is gone, and they don't know how to get back. Don't you think the sheep would find its way back if it knew how? Don't you think people would know, would come back to the Lord? If they knew exactly what to do, they would do it. So today I recognize that you may feel like you're wayward. You may feel like I'm so far from God. You may feel like my life has been so messed up. You may feel like other people have messed my life up so much. But let me just tell you today, I believe that God has a blessing in store for you and for your life. Last week, I preached the message, the second half blessing. I talked about Job, the powerful story of Job, and how God said at the end of this story of Job, when God began to reconcile and bring everything back, he said, the Bible says, and God blessed Job more in the second half of his life than in the beginning. And something, you know, I didn't realize, last Sunday, July 6th, was the first Sunday of the second half of the year. I didn't even know it. We had just crossed the midway point of 2025. So let me just encourage somebody today that you may have been struggling all this year. Maybe the first half of 2025 has been bleak and dark and difficult. But can I just tell you that today on this Sunday, you are stepping into the second half of your year. And I believe that God can turn some things around. I believe that God can bless your life. I believe that God can bless your family. I believe that God can do some things you would never understand. But let me read this parable again. Because I want to speak to you, for whatever reason, if you feel like that sheep that is away from the shepherd, you feel either lost your way, or have been pushed out, whatever the cause is, let me speak to you. I'm going to read the English Standard Version. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And just a quick aside, what's interesting about this, Jesus would preach to anybody. He would speak to anybody. He would reach anybody. But the scribes and Pharisees, they didn't challenge him on that because they should have been preaching and teaching. What did they do? So they found something else. They said, he eats with them. They didn't attack and say he ministers to them or speaks to them. In this case, they tried to find another way around because guess what? Jesus finds the people that need him the most. He says, do I come for those that aren't sick? No, only the sick need a physician. I'm here to heal the sick. But so he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost? Now, think about this. Let me ask you this. If you're here today, you may feel like you've been far from God for a long time, and it may seem hopeless. You may have family members that don't know the Lord or have walked away from the Lord for a long time. You may be in the middle of a situation that you feel like has been going on for a long time. But let me ask you this. Is there a time frame on how long God will search for and seek you? Is there an expiration date on how long God will try to find you where you are? The answer is found in the last four words of this verse, until he finds it. Let me tell somebody today that I don't care how long you have been struggling. I don't care how lost you feel, that Jesus is still seeking for you. He will look for you until he finds you. I don't care how long that person that you love has been away from the Lord or has not been themselves or has not been in their right mind. Let me tell somebody and encourage somebody today that there is not an expiration date for how long Jesus will search for you. The Bible says he will look for that lost sheep until he finds it. So no matter what you're going through, he's searching for you. But you don't know my story. No. The verse says until he finds it. But I've messed up so many times. No. He will seek until he finds it. It's not 1 year. It's not 5 years. And guess what? Our God does not need sleep, so he never gets tired. Our God doesn't have to stop to eat. He always has enough energy. So no matter what you're going through, he will keep on searching. He will keep on seeking you until he finds you. Don't give up now. Be of good courage. He will seek you until he finds you. He will do whatever he can to get to you because he loves you. But then look at this. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders. Look at this. Now, shepherds don't normally carry sheep. They lead sheep and sheep follow. So what's unique about this? Sometimes we see here a good shepherd. But the way we think about it, if we're not careful, again, let me talk to church people. If we're not careful, we think, hey, you made so many mistakes. You gotta do this. You gotta come back to God. You gotta make right all of your wrongs. You gotta find your way back to God. And if we're not careful, we will create hoops for people to jump through before they can come back to God. But in this case, the shepherd doesn't lead the sheep back to the flock. You know what I think? I think the shepherd found the sheep and realized, if you had the energy, the strength, and the knowledge to get back to exactly where you need to be by yourself, you would have done it already. I believe the shepherd found the sheep in a state where it didn't even have enough strength to get back. It didn't even know what to do. And so let me tell somebody today, you may feel like your strength is completely depleted. You may feel like, I don't have anything left to give. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. Everything I've tried seems hopeless, and I barely have enough energy to literally get here physically. Let me just tell somebody today, what this story teaches me is that when Jesus finds you, he doesn't say, well, get up, and you've got to fight your way back, and you've got to do all this energy. No, he sees exactly the state that you are in, and he says, I love you so much, I will pick you up myself, I will put you on my shoulders, and I will bring you back to where you need to be. Let me tell somebody today, if you don't got the strength to get back on your own, he will put you on his shoulders, and he will bring you back to where you need to be. I don't care what you've been through, I don't care how weak you may feel in your spirit, the only thing you need to say today is, I need a shepherd. I may not have strength, but I want a shepherd. I may not know where to turn, but I know a shepherd. If you will just say and surrender yourself to God, the shepherd, he will carry you himself. Oh, thank you, Jesus. When you're too weary to walk, he will put you on his shoulders. We serve a God that will carry you home. You don't have to fight your way back. He will bring you home. And if we imagine, just imagine yourself as that shepherd. Imagine yourself if you had to go and get that sheep and then you go back home for the night and your friends or your family say, how was today? You know how we think? We would say, it was great, except I had to go get this sheep. What an inconvenience. Everything was great except this one dumb sheep ran away. This one foolish sheep just did all this stuff. And that's how we think. That's the way we perceive it as the shepherd. We would say, I'm inconvenienced. We're like, yeah, that one sheep, it was an awful sheep. He was bad. Sorry, it's my one sheep joke. That was the only one. No more, I promise. But think about it. That's how we think. That's how we would respond. If I had to do that, everything was good, I had to go way out of my way, get this one sheep, bring it back. So because that's the way our human brain thinks, when we think of ourselves as the wayward sheep, we also use that same mental framework. What do I mean? What I mean is, I understand that when you struggle in your life, you see yourself as an inconvenience to God. You see yourself, if we're not careful, in our own flesh, because you know how much you've messed up. So you see yourself as a lost cause. You see yourself as not worth coming out to get. You see yourself as a difficulty for God. But let me just reframe your thinking, because when I look in this verse, when I look in Luke 15 and verse 6 or verse 5, there is one word that gives us an indication of God's perspective when he has to come out and get us and carry us. There's one word. What is that one word? It says rejoicing. That is the only description that we get of the mood of the shepherd when he has to go way out of his way and go get that sheep. And then it goes on to say, and when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, what do we think? We think when we finally come back to church, everyone's going to gossip about us. Everyone's going to judge us. Everyone's going to look down on us. Everyone's going to say, well, what did they do? Who are they, thinking they can come back here? But no, this reframes our perspective that we should have. He said he calls everyone together and says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. And then Jesus ends the parable and he says, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 people who don't need to repent. So let me just tell you, want to see joy like in heaven? Then we better rejoice when someone comes back to God. If you want to see a little piece of heaven, then we better not judge people when they come back to God. Let me tell somebody today who feels like you've messed up, we're not here to gossip about you. We're not going to talk bad about you. We're not going to look down our nose at you. We're going to rejoice with you and say, praise God. Look who God has brought back to himself. If we want heaven to be, if we want Sterling Heights to be a little bit like heaven, then we better rejoice when people come back to God. We better rejoice when we see broken people. I don't want to judge broken people. I rejoice with broken people. I don't want to judge when people come back to God. I rejoice when people come back to God. Oh, let that be our posture, church. Oh, let that be the kind of church that we are. Rejoicing, saying, welcome home. Welcome back. I'm glad you're here. Look what the Lord has done. Stand with me today. I both offer, hopefully, an encouragement to those that feel far from God and an admonition and a challenge to First Church members. Again, First Church members, we need to commit to being the kind of church that receives people in the way that Jesus would prescribe. What does that look like? Receive them back into the flock. Not ostracized. Not having to jump through all of these special hoops just to be accepted. No. Who are we if I'm a sheep to judge another sheep? I'm not no righteousness in myself. The only righteousness I would have is my pursuit of Jesus and his blood that has covered me. It's God. So who am I to judge anyone else? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So I want to speak to two different people groups, two different demographics. And in a moment, I'm going to encourage everybody to come down here to the front and pray with us. There's no compulsion. If you don't feel comfortable or you want to pray where you are, that's fine. But I'm just going to encourage us in a few moments to all come down and pray. But I want to speak again, first to our church. If we want to see the joy of heaven, I think we better rejoice when someone repents and comes back to God. And if you're around church long enough, you'll see people go their way and you'll see them come back. But what do you do when they come back? Do we judge? Do we try to discern what happened? No. I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm saying let the shepherd handle it. Let God handle it. Let the Lord handle it. We shouldn't judge others. We should encourage and help. And most importantly, you probably can't afford to. Why? Because you got to keep your eyes on the shepherd. I can't afford to get my eyes off the shepherd and get so distracted. Why? Because if I get distracted, all we, like sheep, will go astray. If you're so focused on comparing yourself to other people or trying to figure out who's not checking all the boxes, guess what? I'm a sheep, you're a sheep. What do? We're prone to going astray. I don't care how old you are or how mature you are in the Lord. And if we're not careful, if we spend all of our time focused on things of this earth and not eternal things, we may be in church for a long time but never mature. You could be a 30-year-old, 1-year-old. We've got to keep our eyes on the shepherd. So church, consider this an admonition from the Lord, from this parable. Rejoice with sinners. Rejoice with heaven when someone comes back to God. Let this not be a place of judgment. But I really want to speak to those, for whatever reason, you feel far from God. You feel wayward. You feel like you've lost the voice of the shepherd. You can't see the shepherd. You can't even figure out where to go. Let me tell you, number one, he will seek you until he finds you. And I believe that can be happening today. Again, if you're a guest with us today, I don't believe it's a coincidence that you're here. I believe the Lord is trying to speak to you. All week I've been literally, I think I was reading this and the Lord impressed this message last Sunday as I was just taking some personal time after the day. It's been an entire week. This simple 7 verses of scripture that I know has just been impressed upon me. So let me just tell somebody, if you feel like a wayward sheep, or if you feel so weary that you don't know what to do next, number one, we see the shepherd seeks for the sheep. He will leave everything else and pursue you for as long as it takes. But what about as long as it takes? But I meant as long as it takes. If I could have this conversation, I would let you say everything you want to say and respond with those same words back to you. But I messed up again. Okay, as long as it takes. There's no expiration date on God seeking you. And then when he finds you, it doesn't matter what state you feel like you are in. Some of us feel like, well, before I can return, I have to do this. Guess what? You would have done it already if you could do it by yourself, right? No. The shepherd doesn't lead the wayward sheep back. He carries it back. So I want to tell you today, I feel this so deep in my spirit. I know it's so simple of a parable that we've heard before, but you've been trying to figure some things out on yourself, or you've been trying to wait until you get the right things together. No. It says there is joy in heaven. He rejoices. He carries you home. And finally, you're not an inconvenience to God. There's one word that describes the opportunity that he has to carry you home. It says rejoicing. He wants to find you. He wants to carry you. And he wants to rejoice over you. If that's the case, the only thing you have to do is say, I want a shepherd. God, I want you to be my shepherd. I know that's a humble thing to say. So right now, I don't want to ostracize anyone. I don't want anyone to feel called out. So I would ask, if you're comfortable, could we come around this front and to spend some time in prayer together? Would you mind? Church family, I want us to commit to being the kind of sheep and the kind of flock, as it were, that would allow other people to come and grow. But then also, if you do feel like that wayward sheep, I want you to pray and allow God to pick you up in his arms and allow him to carry you back to where you need to be. I know you may feel far from him. I know you may feel undeserving, but he doesn't care what kind of state he finds you in. The Bible says he searches until he finds it. The Bible says he picks you up and he carries you back and he rejoices. So right now, I want you to begin to pray with me, and I want to pray over you wherever you find yourself. Can we pray together? In the name of Jesus, God, I pray for every person, Lord. We are all like sheep, God. None of us are perfect. So we stand here together. We stand here together, God. We say we need you, O shepherd, to lead us and guide us back to you. Lord, I pray for someone that is so weary in their heart today, they don't even know what to do. God, I pray that you would pick them up because you have found them. I pray you would pick them up and carry them back home. That's it, somebody. I'm trying to tell you that you are carried home joyfully. He carries you with joy. You're not a burden. You're not an inconvenience. You're not a weight for him to carry. He wants to carry you. And when you come back, we rejoice with you. Yes, that's it. I want you to receive your healing today. But you've got to let God carry you. You've got to let God bring you back to fellowship with him. In the name of Jesus, let us be a church that doesn't judge. Let us be a church that brings people back. In Jesus' name. Yes, that's it. Pray all across this place. Let the shepherd carry you. Let him carry you home. In Jesus' name. Let's pray, church. Let's pray. Let's seek the face of God. Let him carry you home today.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around